Yeah, Monday. What's up? Welcome in April 28th, 2025. We are Grant and Danny. We've got a lot to do on the show today. The Commanders have a new draft class. We'll discuss the decisions they made. And more importantly, they are making moves to get back home to DC at the RFK site. We'll be talking about that throughout the show today. The Capitals got a massive win, 3 third period goals last night. They're up 3-1 on the Montreal Canadiens. Game 5 slated for Wednesday night at Capital One Arena. And the Nats are in action today, looking to take 3 out of 4 from the Mets. They've been rolling 2 out of 3 over the weekend from the best team in the National League. Scrappy walked off twice with come-from-behind ninth-inning wins.
How about it?
Let's have a day. It's a good time to be a DC sports
fan. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that Caps comeback win, a Nationals comeback win, and the foosball gentleman going back to DC. Sorry. I'm sorry about that DC sports weekend. If there's nothing in that for you that gets you going, very little we can offer you. I'll be honest with you. That's kind of when you go to the buffet, like, oh, I hope they have the, oh, I hope they have the, and the, all three of the thes, they're all there. The best dishes we got, served right to you. Think about the couple of years since the Harris Ownership Group took over. Just think about it. Little Jaden Daniels, a general manager, going to DC, an NFC Championship game. In 1 year, basically, full ownership, they accomplished more than that stupid little twerp did in decades. Amazing.
I can't stop thinking about what Dan's thinking today.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not the best way to live my life. I should just be reveling in the happiness of the moment.
But it's fun.
And the fact that it's all fixed and better and I've been healed and so many others. I get to continue to work through the traumas that he put us through. But somewhere, probably on a yacht in some ocean, he is livid today. Just absolutely outraged and apoplectic. And yet, as you said, it took basically 1 year of running the show from this ownership group to get it done. Lots to get to on the RFK site and the Commanders returning to DC. So we will get to that in just a second. But we got to start with the Caps after their big win last night. 3-1 series lead. They're in a golden spot to put Montreal away coming back home. Was not easy, by the way. I don't think there's going to be a tougher place for them to play all postseason. And I don't care how long their run goes, Danny, than Montreal. So loud, so raucous. They're sing-songing your goalie from start to finish. They're trolling your players. They got a pair of third-period goals from doggy Brandon Duhaime. Couple of empty netters. They come back from down 1. Nobody came back in the third period to win more games they trailed after 40 than the Caps all year. And it took a nasty snipe from Andrew Mangiapane.
And then Reamstike alertly will play it ahead, and Montreal is going to put Caulfield to the bench. Big line trading and heading off. Here's Mangiapane coming down the middle. He scores! Andrew Mangiapane scores from the high slot, coming into the zone. He just beat Jakub Dobesh with 3:37 to go in the third.
Your Elite Power and Energy Corporation, Elite Power and Energy installs backup generator for you. Fill your propane tank so you don't lose power when the storm hits. 24/7 service, complete and power solutions. Elite Power and Energy Corp.com. Your elite player of the game's got to be Mangiapane. I'm happy for him.
Me too.
He had a bunch of chances earlier in the series, never lit the lamp. He was one of the most maligned players in the regular season because he makes a lot of money. $5.5 million. He was probably the only offseason addition that didn't have a bang-up year. But he just scored the biggest goal of the campaign, and it's not even close.
So I hope they have good maintenance people in Montreal. I'm worried about that net on that goal. It hit the net so hard because it beat Dobesh so cleanly. Like, it bounced out. Like are they going to be able to fix it? Like, if they ever have any more games there, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Maybe we won't have to go back to Montreal. I don't know. But that shot rocketed past that poor goaltender, who I also feel a little bit bad for. And then all those disappointed fans having to leave the arena with all the sadness and a bitter taste in their mouth, now being down 3-1. Oh, what a bummer. That shot shut everybody right the hell up. Those are my favorite things. The road silence. Chris Weber used to bathe in it, would tell everybody, I've accomplished something at your expense. This pointer finger on my right hand to my lips. Shh. So delightful. Evgeny Kuznetsov, scoring in Pittsburgh, the shuffle of the yoons and yins all up the stairs to go home. That snipe quieting everybody was incredible.
Yeah, it's a great sound.
Incredible.
You can hear the screams and the high-pitched squeals and the excitement and the clanking sticks and guys jumping over the bench and whatever else because it's so quiet in a building that was so loud all night. But I thought the Stars were Stars. They got to be in the playoffs. OV team high five shots. Tom Wilson dragged the boys into the fight, completely changed the game with his monster hit in the neutral zone. That was seconds before the game-tying goal from Duhaime that made it 2-2. Shortly thereafter, Mangiapane with about 4 minutes left. By the way, the fifth latest in the third period of a game-winning goal ever scored by a Capital in a playoff game. And the good guys take the lead. I thought Montreal pulled their goalie a little early. I know they had an offensive zone draw, but close to 3 minutes left, they were aggressive. They pulled the goalie. The Caps said thank you and immediately scored a couple of empty netters.
Great defensive sequence to do that, yeah.
5-2, man. It was not that kind of game.
No.
I mean, that it was a fearful, nervous, anxiety-ridden game, but ends up being a three-goal win. And most importantly, symbolically, I'd say for the series, they're up 3-1. It doesn't really feel like they've dominated the series.
No.
But if you look at chances and high danger around the net, shots, I mean, they have absolutely been the better team, unequivocally. Game one, 15-4 lead in high danger shots on goal. Game two, 8-4. Game four, 8-3. They got outplayed and beat handily in game three and outchanced high danger 7-2. But in 3 out of 4 games, they have decidedly been the better team.
So early in the third period, I wasn't feeling great, not only about the game, but about the series, where I'm going, I've seen this, I've read this a million times. You can just change the date. Caps out hit, out shot, out possessed, out blah, 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 and still are tied 2-2 or end up losing the series, et cetera.
Yeah, if it's 2-2 coming back and you've lost two in a row and you're a 1-8, you got no momentum. It's now a best of 3 series. That would have been awful.
That Duhaime goal to tie it just under 7 minutes into the third period, all of a sudden, brand new life. And then, of course, you mentioned the Wilson decleating. Good heavens. Good heavens, was that a game changer? And now you're up 3-1. Driver's seat.
So the Capitals, we will set them to the side for a moment. We'll get back to them. The playoff winners last night, the A topic for the evening. But their shine was stolen just a little bit this morning, huh? This is years in the making. How many hours would you guess, as a radio show and as a radio station, we have done on a future stadium for the Washington Commanders? And the mere possibility, when it seemed impossible, when it seemed unlikely, when it seemed improbable, that maybe, just maybe, one day they could come back to D.C. And it may well happen. A lot of work still has to be done.
Mm-hmm.
The city council still has to approve this. Only 4 city council members were on site. They need 7 votes. Phil Mendelson, who is in charge of the city council, kind of runs the show, right? He's coming on the show at 3 o'clock. He's long been opposed to a stadium in D.C., and he put out a statement already today. Doesn't sound like his opinion has changed, so we'll ask him about it. But Josh Harris, sitting next to the mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, sitting next to the commissioner of the National Football League, Roger Goodell, talking about a project that is going to change D.C. forever, and could Danny do more to reinvigorate this fan base than an NFC Championship game run or a Super Bowl ever could. The possibility of people who went to RFK Stadium with their dad and with their grandparents getting to take their kids. This could be the unifier. This could be the shot in the arm that we need as a fan base, because this thing has subsided substantially.
Yeah, there's no way around that. The bridge to the older, my age and up, right, who remembers going to RFK. I only got to go to a handful of games, by the way. It wasn't like you could go every week. It was when the Tremonti family couldn't use their tickets, and my dad and I only got to go a couple times. So it's building a bridge to the older fans, that a lot of them have been driven away by this expansion feel, where it's a name we don't recognize, uniforms we don't recognize, branding we don't recognize. It just feels like a new thing, and a lot of folks don't care the same way. So you build that bridge back. It's the biggest welcomer back possible. I know winning helped an awful lot, but just in terms of the off-field things, it's the best olive branch, open arm embrace that this organization could offer.
Let's face it too, winning is fleeting. You could win or you could lose at any given moment. There'll be great years and bad years, and guys are healthy or they're hurt, and Daniels is going to play at an elite level or could struggle or go through a rut. a stadium's there for 30 plus years.
Yes. The doink against Tampa Bay is an inch and a half to the right and they lose in overtime and we're not talking about it the same way. You know, I'm just saying, I'm not spitting in the face of it, simply saying you're right, it's fleeting. Then the second bridge is to the new fans. The second bridge is to the younger group that has no memory of RFK, that's only heard people like me talk about the stadium bouncing and has only heard about some of the incredible moments where everybody in this area from a totally different backgrounds, communities, et cetera, are out there by the hundreds of thousands for the Super Bowl parades and the home field advantage and the We Want Dallas. These are just legends. Well, you bring the new folks in by a state-of-the-art, kick-ass, unbelievable facility. So that could have been anywhere, quite frankly, for the younger generation. But the fact that it's the same place that all the old heads want it and all the young folks, you guys and under GP, are getting the crown jewel of it, some of the renderings and some of the possibilities here, needs to be thoughtfully done. That's obvious. But you've got an ownership group that all they've demonstrated so far is we'll do what needs to be done.
Well, everything they've touched has turned, maybe it's not gold yet. You haven't won the Super Bowl or whatever. You can't do that overnight, but it's close to it.
They've hit bolts,
silver.
Man.
I mean, they have done nothing but perform in every capacity. They told you they wanted to turn the product on the field around. They did so in lightning speed in a way that shouldn't have been possible, frankly, starting with hitting a home run with who they hired as a general manager, rebuilding, and for the first time in years, building a legitimate front office. That includes R&D and analytics. That includes the scouting department. Their number 3 and 4 in command right now in that front office is better than any number 1 that they've had in a non-coaching VP football capacity in a couple of decades. They just haven't tried this route. So they did that. And the football team, with picking correctly at the top of the board, got good pretty quickly. They are investing in their players. They have become a popular place to work. They've gone from being 32nd in the NFLPA polling in terms of quality of organization as a workplace to 11th overnight as an ownership group. And the next thing they're turning their attention to, as they've tried to put lipstick on a pig and improve the environment over in Landover, is a new stadium. And today, with Bowser, Harris, and Goodell meeting with reporters at the National Press Club, they said it's time to come back to D.C.
So I want to start by saying, welcome home. Let's give our commanders a big Washington, D.C. welcome. We are so happy to talk this morning about bringing our team home to the sports capital, back to RFK, where they belong.
There's going to be a million different angles for us to discuss today, tomorrow, in the days and weeks ahead, right? I think my first takeaway is, not unlike when Mark Seagraves of NBC4 broke the big story a few weeks ago that there was the framework of a deal coming together, the amount of money this ownership group is forking over privately is unprecedented.
Yep.
There has never been this large of a private commitment to Washington, D.C. And if you compare it to other NFL stadiums and projects, Tennessee's building a stadium set to open in a couple of years. 60% public money. Jacksonville's what they've done to fix things. 50% public money. Buffalo's new stadium's about half public money. The Saints, 67% public money. The best stadium in the league, Allegiant, out in Vegas, 37% public money, which wasn't viewed as a ton. It was viewed as a good deal. This is 24% of the money is going to be public. And the vast majority of that, by the way, goes to the project around the stadium, not the stadium itself. But you're talking about a 75% commitment in private money, $2.7 billion from Josh Harris and his ownership group.
Today, I am absolutely thrilled to announce that the Commanders are ready to make the single, and our partners are committed to make the single largest private investment in D.C. history.
So, Danny, there's going to be plenty of people that will still take issue, and that's fine.
Sure.
You're allowed to. Their stance is, to break it down, probably 1 cent to a billionaire for their stadium is too many. But living in the reality of what sports landscape is currently, and in D.C., where if you look at Nationals Park in 2008, 96% public money. If you look at Capital One Arena when it was built in 1997, even way back then, you hear so much about how it was built privately. 33% of that project was public money, more than this. 93% of Care First Arena in 2018, I think that's over at St. Elizabeth's, was public money. Capital One Arena, the transformation right now for the Caps and the Wiz, 64% public, 36% private. I am stunned at the ratio here and impressed by that. And I think ultimately that's what's going to get it across the finish line.
I think so too. So here's the thing I will say. You'll see that $2.7 billion number is the headline. And it kind of is that. And what I mean is some of it is going to be, well, we'll pay you later once we earn some revenue from it. Or we'll pay you a different tax. Or this bond will get converted, et cetera. Here's the point. If you chip away some of that, it's still an enormous chunk of change coming from the ownership group. You follow me? It's still way out of, and I'm not saying this negatively, it's still way out of whack, way out of line with the trend. It's usually 50-50 or worse, where the city's got to pony up more or the municipality's got to pony up more.
I would say the average is way more public than private.
Absolutely.
Still.
And you look at some of these other folks who are trying to build arenas or renovate or do other things, and they can't get public money, and they're going to go do what Jack Kent Cook did. You look at some of the other folks that are agitating for new arenas, for new stadiums, they're going to go out to the deep burbs and hope that that works out for them because they can get cheaper land. The fact that this ownership group is willing to do it, let's say you're the ultimate cynic and you go, it ain't $2.7 billion. My point is, at worst, it's what, 2.2? They are ponying up here. And given the fact that it's not just flat land, it's not just ground that they're going to be building on, the stadium is currently still there.
Yes.
The amount of money that it would take to knock it down, to move all the crap, to build all the things that they're talking about without a stadium, to put your park, your skate park, your whatever you want to do there for local residents, this is pretty much what it would cost. So, sorry. You know what I mean? Like, to me, this is one of those, even if you hate this, it's not going to the billionaire per se. The infrastructure would be spent no matter what.
You could tell me you don't like the deal. You can't tell me it's not a good deal.
As far as other deals go, yeah, you're right.
You cannot tell me by the standard of what deals look like that this is not a good deal. You could tell me one penny is too much if that's your philosophy. By the way, some particulars on the stadium. We've said for years it would have a roof. It will. I don't think it's going to be a retractable roof. That costs almost $1 billion more. It means more money for the public, for, you know, more private money. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the best case scenario is it's a roof that doesn't feel like a roof because the sun can come in and you can feel like you're outside during the day. 65,000 seats, perfect for hosting major events. 8,000 parking spots. That's only 28% of the current stadium. That is going to be a sticking point for a lot of people. There will be way, way, way less tailgating opportunity. But the answer to that, at least from the site, is going to be upwards of 90 restaurants and bars that are walkable. There are currently zero within a mile. The only stadiums in America for the NFL where that exists are here with the Commanders and the Miami Dolphins. Roger Goodell told reporters today, by the way, I really do think this community could be a great host for a Super Bowl. I think the stadium has been the missing piece. So get ready. I mean, do you want to go to the Super Bowl? Do you want to have an NFL draft in D.C.? They could be coming. The Final Four, WrestleMania, Taylor Swift, Beyonce. What do you want to do? It's all on the table for you. Josh Harris says they want to host the biggest events when this thing's built.
That was the Washington that I remembered. When on Sundays, everything stopped. Everyone was glued to their TV or in the stadium. And we've already seen a reawakening of that spirit, but we want to bring it back. Now we want to bring the Commanders home with a new RFK that our fans will love, our opponents will fear. It'll be loud. We want to make it about football, but also about the city and the community, and we want to host the biggest and best events in the world.
How do you guys feel about the announcement today, and do you have nerves about this getting done? Because I got to be honest, we played a press conference on these airwaves. We played a bunch of cuts. We had a big party about the Wizards and the Capitals getting a new stadium in Virginia. Now, Louise Lucas can't shut this one down and post a bunch of memes.
But she could still meme, but I don't think they can stop anything.
She could post all the memes she wants. She just has no say in this
one.
There
we go.
But the D.C. City Council does, and Phil Mendelson, among council members, has been anti this project. He's going to be on with us coming up in about 40 minutes. We'll take his temperature. But we want to get your reaction to the news today. What do you love about the project? Do you have any concerns as a fan? And where does this rank for you among some of the really exciting days in your DC sports fandom? Grant and Danny on the Fan. That was Commissioner Roger Goodell, the $2.7 billion private investment, according to the packet that the mayor and the team were involved in putting together that was handed out. Project's going to generate $15.6 billion in direct spending. They're suggesting 200 event days, 40 major events. Now, I'll take the under on the 200 days because we've tried to do the math before and it's complicated. But we also only really count up major things. If they're saying events, period, something that just the community is using the stadium for some reason, maybe they could get to 200. But 40 major events, that includes NFL games, soccer games, concerts. You know, you can now get your Taylor Swift, your Beyonce to come through. I think Beyonce has gone to Landover anyway, but it was a non-starter for Swift with the stadium. You're looking at World Cup games. DC got left on the afterburner. The Super Bowl with a roof is absolutely in play. The commissioner said this stadium was a missing piece. So you can dream a little bit. And by the way, if you were to have a Super Bowl, which the speculation on that is it can generate $1 billion in revenue for a city, and the Final Four, you're making a pretty good sizable portion of what you're spending back just on a couple of those events. Now, I know it's not dollar for dollar. We can go through how it all works. Mm-hmm. But there's going to be some number finagling. That's what happens. They're suggesting
it's inevitable.
The
with
stadium
stuff,
creates 16,000 jobs, and you go, really, 16,000? Well, 14,000 is construction to build it, and 2,000 are permanent. My point is just this will be more helpful to Ward 7 than anything they do there in terms of getting people like you and me from Virginia and people in Maryland to make the trip into the city. This is one of the great days in organizational history. Understand that. One of the great days in organizational history. If they can land this plane and this ownership group, which it's one home run after another, Danny, can park mm-hmm. one more baseball in the seats, this could be what helps bring this thing back to life. Jaden Daniels was taking out his defibrillators and going, clear! and like there was a second there where it seemed like we started to breathe again. This is like the drug that they shoot into the person who's been out on the street for a month and is all of a sudden running around. This stadium could be exactly what we need, man.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, again, short of, you know, somehow reversing all of the recent history and consternation and arguing over the name, and I'm not suggesting it's coming back. It's not. They've been very clear about that, and I'm not even arguing a position as to whether it's right or wrong. Simply saying to reignite a huge part of this fan base that has been lost, quite frankly, because this is not the team they grew up rooting for. It looks like an expansion team to them. Different uniforms, different name, different everything. I get they're being alienated. I'm not arguing about anything being right or wrong. Simply saying that's a fact, right? Short of that, this is the best offer. This is the best way to maybe potentially bring some folks back to an updated version of the joy that they experienced at RFK. Because right, you can't do the same thing. That doesn't exist. It's not up to code. You can't have a building move and shake anymore. There's a lot of things that have to be different, but it's got to be thoughtfully done. There's a million obstacles. There's a lot of money and some really good planning that has to happen in and around it. But this is the single one thing that transcends whether the team is good or bad that year. Like, God forbid, if Jaden Daniels has a high ankle sprain, has to miss 8 weeks this coming year, they could be just okay or not that good. This is timeless. This is now the, let's set up 25, 35, 40 years potentially of generations of fans coming through our doors.
So I have my own questions, like a lot of people do, about the project. Mm-hmm. It's not about the specifics of the money. Again, I think the commitment privately far exceeds what I anticipated and is unbelievable compared to current league standards and sports standards. I would also say the number one complaint I've gotten since today's announcement and all the renderings, and this just shows the things fans care about, is that it's going to have a roof. And I don't know where these people have been. I've been saying for 3 years, like everyone else has, I think that's semi plugged in on this thing. Of course it's going to have a roof. You've been to hot games and cold games and rain games and snow games. It's a romantic, cool aesthetic, and it's something that feels fun. We change the weather in Madden so that you're playing in the snow. You're competing with me staying at home in my recliner, eating and drinking my own stuff in my basement. Room temperature's the play here.
Yeah.
Also, no roof, no stadium. What's the line from my guy Jack in The Departed? No tiki, no laundry. No roof, no Super Bowl. Okay? Period. If there's not a roof on this thing, you can't hold some of these events. They're not having the Final Four in an outdoor stadium. They're not having the Super Bowl in an outdoor stadium. They did it once at MetLife. I don't know if it's happening again. So to me, that's a non-starter. It's easy. Everybody wants a retractable roof. I'm with you. It costs almost $1 billion more. Are you willing to pay more for it? And the answer is probably no. Also, when we talk about this, Danny, how often do the retractable roofs actually get opened for these big games?
Way fewer times than you think.
Yeah. The Astros have a retractable roof. We were there in October when it was beautiful out for the playoffs. You know what they did? They kept their roof closed.
Because they wanted the noise. Yeah, it was literally 71 degrees outside with a beautiful, you know, calming breeze, just in case it was a tiny bit humid. For all the games down there, and they kept that bad boy closed because they wanted the ambiance and the noise, everything to be deafening.
Everybody wants to belittle this, and that's fine, but I am a member of a tailgate group. My wife's a season ticket holder. They've tailgated forever. It's a huge part of their experience, and it frankly, for many years, kept them going to the games when the stadium was awful and the team was awful. I think tailgating and football are peanut butter and jelly. They are Jordan and Pippen. Basically, they've got what is a I did some math, 8,000 parking spots they're suggesting, assuming that's true. About 28,000 is what they have at the current stadium. You're talking about a quarter-ish in a rough estimate, whatever the numbers come out to. I don't know if there's going to be a good tailgating situation. I think it's going to be really hard to tailgate at this stadium. That's a blow for me. That's a blow for a lot of people. But it's a trade-off. Would I rather take my son, you know, my wife's pregnant with another son, both my kids, one in each arm, walking up from the metro to this stadium in D.C. that's the Taj Mahal and the state of the art, most talked about stadium in the National Football League, and maybe not get to tailgate, but we've got to duck into a restaurant, and they're saying there could be 90 bars and restaurants in the vicinity here. Yeah, I guess I could probably figure that out. I think there are going to be a lot of people bothered by the tailgating thing. And then I have more questions on the metro. Because I didn't see much about building another metro. Do they need to? Is the one that they have good enough? So there's some answers we still need. But by and large today, this is not Caps whiz to Virginia in a place where they've never had a stadium and there's obstinance toward it. I don't know how you feel, but to me, this is very, very different. This is a team going home to the place where a lot of people say it should have always been.
Yeah, so the area is different now. I don't just mean right around the stadium, but this area, the population has exploded. And there's more close by. I mean, look at some of the neighboring, whatever you want to call them, boroughs, cities, etc. When I was growing up, Reston was not a thing. Now, Reston looks like downtown fill in the blank. I mean, stuff happens. There's more people. There's more housing. There's more things. So it's a long way of saying doing it just like we did at RFK in the 80s will not work this time. My question is, and I know thoughtful people are thinking about this. These are smart folks. I'm not talking about from the city side. I'm talking about from Harrison Company from their side, and I'm sure you know everybody's going to work together and collaborate here. That infrastructure, you touched on some of it, everything having to do with Metro. How can you use the river? Again, I keep saying I think there's going to be water taxi type stuff where you can get on an Alexandria, you can get on a Navy Yard, you can get on at points by the wharf. Maybe that's something to encourage people to ease flow. Maybe you can have barges out there for people to eat and drink on as like a cool sunset thing on the water. Use those sorts of facilities to your advantage. Whatever you do, you've got to find a way to get folks there easily. The biggest complaint, or one of the top five, about Nubs Field is getting in and out sucks. It's awful.
Yeah.
And it didn't get better over decades, despite some cursory efforts here and there and new initiatives. That you can't have that. You can't have that same spider web where 295 is already a mess without game day traffic, without problems. And if you want people to go there, not on game days, because that's the key for survival for any new stadium or development is it's Tuesday in June. Can I go over there to get some lunch? And that's the whole way this thing survives. You need to make it easier for people to get there. So that infrastructure, that encompasses all things, has to be incredibly thoughtful and well done.
I guess my first takeaway before we even dive into all of the stadium elements, should be this ownership group makes moves.
Yep.
They get S done.
Mm-hmm.
And they have since the moment they showed up. It took them a couple of years, not even in full control. I mean, remember, they took over right before training camp 2 years ago. So really, we're talking about a year and a half to do what Dan and all of his geese couldn't have done and would still never have accomplished. But they had years and years and couldn't get the ball this far down the field.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're in the red zone on the goal line here. You need the city council to help you out. Phil Mendelson, who's been in opposition, is going to be joining us at 3. I've got many questions. I'm sure you do as well for him. So that's coming up in about 20 minutes. But we want to hear from you guys next. What are you feeling today? 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny.
It's about creating jobs for DC residents and revenue that will support what all of our city needs. City services that have made us a growing city. We're going to be talking a lot about this project in the coming weeks and months, and it will be clear that this is a good deal for DC. It's a fantastic deal, a win-win-win for the city, the team, and the fans.
All four of our major sports teams playing in the nation's capital once more. You kidding me? Nats at Nats Park, the Caps and the Wiz staying at Capital One Arena, where they have already begun to refurbish with over $500 million worth of money being dumped into their venue. And now the Commanders coming back to the RFK site if they can get the votes needed from the city council. Our Grant and Danny poll of the day is presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage, local, long distance, residential or commercial, 3 decades of best-in-class service and experience. The question we're asking you today on the 106.7 The Fan Twitter account, huge weekend in DC sports. What are you most fired up about? I don't think anyone should be surprised that right now leading the way, the RFK Stadium deal, half of the votes. The Capitals getting 38% of the votes after last night. They went up 3-1 over the Habs. The Commanders draft class and the Nats come from behind wins over the Mets as they've got a chance to take a series over a rival today at Nationals Park, pulling up the rear. But this RFK Stadium deal that is closer than it's been at any point in my lifetime, Danny, number one for good reason.
Man. This is because, again, each individual run, an individual team, I'm happy for this Caps club. I like it, right? The Nats playing one of 162 or a couple of 162. This transcends a week, a month, a season, years. This is a lifetime. So if and when my kids go to a football game, that's where we'll be going. Like, that's exciting.
Steve's in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, Steve?
Hey, boys. I mean, I think it's just an awesome thing. I mean, you're having the owners put in close to $3 billion, which is unprecedented. I'm just a little fearful of the DC Council, you know, just not doing this. I mean, maybe eventually common sense will play, but I just am tired of hearing about, you know, housing and stuff like that. I mean, I think every politician hangs their head on that. You know, affordable housing.
And nothing's affordable, like, by the way. That's always what you hear, but nothing's affordable.
Exactly. We live in D.C. Nothing in this area is affordable.
Oh,
it's just how it is. It is what it is. And I more or less think it's even greater because the dudes are going to put in, you know, a world-class, you know, event area for track and field. They're going to reinvest into that whole area. Yes, they're going to have a stadium that takes up, what, 10%? But they're going to also develop it into other things for, you know, for the community. It's just common sense just tells you that this is just a win for DC. I'm not a D.C. resident. I don't pretend to be a D.C. resident. But, again, common sense tells you, Grant, I think you just mentioned it, if they just have a Super Bowl event there or the draft, the thing is paid off for, you know, probably.
Well, yeah, here's your estimate, okay? And I appreciate the call, Steve. The estimate has been done on this, okay? The math is it's just adding a couple things up, right? If you were to host a Super Bowl and a NFL draft, those two events alone, it would be estimated to be worth about $1.25 billion. Throw in a Final Four or a WrestleMania, which both of those I would say would be likely because you're in the nation's capital. What's the number at now? So I don't do the money part of it. You can make that back. If you say you've got better plans or a better way to impact DC, I want to hear how. What are those plans? How are you going to help benefit more lives? Tell me. And we'll be able to ask the councilman that, Mendelson, when he comes on at the top of the hour. But you heard the mayor mention this $89 million facility for youth sports, basically, where she's saying our cheerleaders have nowhere to perform and do their events right now. That's part of this. They have thought of everything, I will say. Now, can you deliver on all the promises? Maybe that's a different question.
Yeah, I mean, again, this takes such thoughtful planning because and the only people I do have some, I would say, sympathy for are the folks that bought in this neighborhood without this really being on the horizon. So in other words, like if you bought a townhouse right around the corner from there, right by Eastern High School, close to DC Armory, et cetera, you bought with this sort of thing in mind and you're hoping, hey, maybe they'll turn this into some more parkland or whatever. Now, because there's not that much tailgating, you might be subject to things you kind of didn't sign up for. I have some sympathy there. Like if you moved into the neighborhood where you are and they build some kind of, you know, I don't know, I'm just making this up, a giant data center 100 yards from your front door, you're like, well, I didn't really sign up for the electromagnetic fields or whatever the downside might be. So that's the only group I go, I'm hoping there are concessions made for those folks. And it sounds like there potentially will be.
Fair. I would also say this has always been a legitimate possibility and was always the favorite in terms of a betting board as to where a stadium was going to get built. So it's not like you're going, whoa, they're building a stadium where? You mean over by the old stadium that's just awful to look at and depressing every time I see it? They're going to put a new beautiful stadium there? I mean, it's not like it's some place that's never had a stadium before. The most important voice in opposition of this for an extended period of time has been Phil Mendelson, who is the chair of the DC City Council. We have not heard from him yet today. He did put out a statement, but we want to hear his voice and see what he says. So he's coming on with us next, right here on Grant and Danny.
And this is a big deal. I've been working on this for the 10 years that I've been mayor. And now we have the right partner at the right time. And Josh is someone who cares more than just about this franchise. He cares about doing the right thing. And he likes to win. You've heard me say that before. He knows how to put together a winning team. And throughout this process, it's been a cooperative one. We were joined in our goals to advance a deal that we could be proud of, a development that would serve the city for generations to come, and support the best professional sports franchise in the world.
The mayor of Washington, D.C., Muriel Bowser, today at the announcement that a deal is in place. The Commanders in the city want to move forward, bringing Washington back to D.C. The Commanders plan their home games at RFK 2.0. The only thing standing between Josh Harris's ownership group, a lot of Commanders fans getting a dream to come true, is the DC City Council now having to vote and approve this. The chairman of the DC City Council, Phil Mendelson, scheduled to join us in just a moment. He's calling in now, so we'll get him on the line. But there is still a lot of work to do.
Absolutely. And it's not a done deal by any stretch of the imagination, because the council needs convincing, or I don't know how many votes. I haven't done a polling or haven't seen any kind of data like that done, but there is a legislative process that happens here, but there is a lot of momentum for it.
What is the process ahead and how will it play out? Let's get some answers right now from the chairman of the DC City Council, Phil Mendelson, on Grant and Danny. Council member, thank you for the time. We appreciate you. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you today?
Great, thank you.
Very well. So, as you know, here, a lot of us very excited on the sports side of the possibility of the Commanders coming back to the nation's capital, but you guys still have plenty to say about that. So let's just get your reaction to the news of the day and the possibility of this brand new stadium at the RFK site.
I would say I'm excited as well with regard to the possibility of getting the Commanders back and getting a new stadium. Do have some reservation about the cost and how much taxpayers are going to be asked to spend.
Mr. Chairman, what needs to happen for you to not be concerned? Like, where's the threshold?
We have yet to see the mayor's budget. So we have yet to see what the impact is on spending. It's really kind of hard to know the situation. My sense is that the mayor's deal with the Commanders is going to cost over $1 billion. But we're just now starting to get some information on that. This may be shocking to your listeners, but the mayor has not chosen to share anything until now with the council, even though the council has to approve. And I certainly hope we don't see the same kind of situation that we saw last year in Virginia. So I estimate that it's at least, close to $1 billion. That's $500 million for horizontal construction, plus another $181 million that's going through a affiliate of the government for parking, plus another $175 million, which is pledged from future taxes to be reinvested in something like the year 2032. That's $856 million right there. Plus the cost of borrowing, plus there are going to be improvements that are necessary for the metro station, plus the improvements to federal parkland per deal the mayor made with the Senate last year. So it's going to be at least $1 billion, and we have not seen all the details.
Councilmember, is your position that like 1 cent is too much? And I ask this because if you compare this deal in terms of private versus public money to the other stadiums that have been built in the league recently, or to what's even been done in the city, by all accounts, this is a pretty good deal.
Well, that's the mayor's spin, because she does it in terms of percentage of cost. But if you look at the actual dollars, this is one of the more expensive public subsidies. At $1 billion, it's one of the more expensive public subsidies.
But wouldn't you also generate more revenue based on this venue than some? If you had a Super Bowl, and if you had the NFL draft, let's say, in the city, the commissioner today said that both are possibilities. This could have been a missing ingredient, so to speak. The estimates are that could generate over $1 billion just with those two events.
Well, let's be clear. The Super Bowl, we will get the Super Bowl with the Commanders next year, and there won't even be a new stadium at that point.
That would be nice.
But seriously, Super Bowl is, once in a generation, if that frequently, for a city? The number of events is, 10 football games plus, if there is something in the playoffs and, maybe I think the mayor's estimate was something like 10 other events. I don't know how many of those events are actually.
They said 40 major events and 200 dates.
Aspirational was 200 dates. I did see that. It said aspirational at 200 dates. I think those might be weddings and bar mitzvahs. I thought it was more like 10 other events like concerts. Just as a comparison, the Nationals is 80 games plus other events. The arena downtown is something like 225 events a year. Very, very different. And the money that I just itemized, close to $200 million is going to come from future taxes. So we're, in a sense, cannibalizing some of the revenue from the site to pay for the site. I don't know that that's horrible, but just don't make the argument that it's going to bring in all this tax revenue when actually it's just going to, that money's just going to get reinvested in building the stadium.
DC Council Chair Phil Mendelson, kind enough to join us here on Grant and Danny. So, Mr. Chairman, let's say there is no stadium, and you were going to build over there, as has happened in, at the Wharf, around Nationals Park, although obviously that's around a stadium, so it may not be apples to apples. But I've been in and around the city long enough. When new development happens, money gets spent. What would it cost you if there's no stadium there at all? And how dissimilar is that to the figures that you're quoting now?
Well, I don't know that that's... That is not where I want to go. But if we were to go there, I think that there still would be an upside to the city because there would be all this new development, housing, commercial, retail. I mean, it's acres and acres of land mm-hmm. that can be developed in a way like the Wharf. So there would be economic potential. But, you know, everybody's interest here is in getting a stadium. And that's where all the excitement is. I completely get it and I share it. It's just a question of how much does the private, how much does the public sector put in to subsidize this? And $1 billion is a stiff amount. I don't think there's support in the council for that. And as I've sort of said here, you know, the mayor is definitely downplaying it because I think she realizes that $1 billion is an awful lot to ask, especially when she's proposing a lot of budget cuts.
D.C. City Council Chairman Phil Mendelson is with us here on Grant and Danny. So you said that that's not where you want to go. I take that as you saying that's not your plan for that area. What does that look like for you in your perfect world? What are better alternatives to generate growth, jobs, and tax revenues in that location?
Well, I think what I would like to see is that to the extent that there's money that's coming not from the direct from the developer, that it is being generated by the site itself, and that's not exactly what this proposal is. In fact, it's not this proposal at all. This proposal is, as I said, $500 million for horizontal construction plus $181 million from Events DC, which is our convention center authority, which gets hotel tax revenue. For parking, and then another $175 million in a few years for additional parking, plus the cost of borrowing. All of that is taxpayer dollars, and all of that is outside of the site itself.
Understood, but I guess my question is, and forgive me, I'm probably just not smart enough.
Ryan Reilman here, sir. We're good at talking linebackers and running backs.
I'm a football guy, right? I'm a sports guy. What would your vision be then there that is better than this stadium for DC?
You mean as an alternative for land use?
Yeah. Well, yeah. If you don't want to spend the $1 billion on a stadium, Danny and I's point is you're going to spend $1 billion to do something else there anyway. Does it generate the same growth, jobs, and tax revenues? I'm from Virginia, but I work in DC. I go to Nats games every night. I'm at every Caps game. I go to Wizards games. I'm not coming there for a lot of the things you're going to be building. There's a benefit to a stadium, obviously.
Yes. I don't think it's an all or nothing. The mayor negotiated this deal without collaborating with the council, without sharing any information whatsoever. I don't think it's an all or nothing. I don't think it's, we accept this deal that the mayor put forward, or there's no stadium at all. I don't think that's even close to the possibility. And, you know, I mean, I've seen these projects over the years. Do you remember the Capital One Arena back in the 90s that the city was going to put in, I think it was over $100 million. And then Robert Johnson came in and said he would pay for the whole thing. And suddenly Abe Poland said he would pay for it. And then the city subsidy went down maybe to zero. And that was after, oh, my God, we have to accept what the initial offer was, which was going to cost, I'm going to say, hundreds of millions in taxpayer dollars. I don't remember the exact number. So this is not a take it or leave it. This is not an all or nothing. I met with the Commanders for the first time last week. It was not to negotiate. It was like an introductory meeting. They were actually shocked when I said to them that the mayor had not shared anything with the council. And
why do you think that is, by the way?
I can't speak for the mayor.
Okay.
And I'm meeting with them again, and I made it clear to them that I want to be accessible and that I expect that we'll have lots of discussion about this.
D.C. City Council Chair Phil Mendelson, kind enough to join us here on Grant and Danny. So I guess what would you need then, sir, to be satisfied? In other words, like what tweaks, what changes, what figures would need where you go, okay, now this makes more sense. I understand you've got that $1 billion number, and that's a lot of money. What needs to change for you to say, you know what, that's a deal I can sign on to?
It's hard for me to give you, you're looking for a specific answer, and it's hard for me to give that to you when I know so little about this project. I only know pretty much the PowerPoint that was circulated this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not enough to be able to give you a better answer. Plus, I've not sat down and talked face-to-face with the Commanders about what they need and why they can't put up more.
Phil Mendelson on Grant and Danny. So to get an idea of where we go from here then, obviously, it goes without saying you guys would ultimately need to vote and approve this. I believe there are only four council members on site today. You need seven to pass it. Is that the number I heard?
Correct.
Okay. I'm assuming the four that are there are for it, but I guess I shouldn't assume that. So you said you don't think there are the votes. Can you expound upon that? Are you pretty confident right now that they don't have seven people that would support this?
Well, you know, the problem with my answering a yes is that sounds a bit confrontative, and I don't wish to be confrontative at this point. But I think that if this was before the council today, they would not vote for it, in part because we don't know enough, but in part because they would see the price tag too high, and in part because we have not seen what the mayor is proposing with the budget and the cuts that we know they're going to be in the budget. You know, let me just say on that, the mayor's budget was due on April 2nd. We will, if we're lucky, get it the middle of May. That's 7 weeks late. And we expect that there's going to be close to $1 billion in program cuts in what she sends to us. What is she cutting, and where is she getting the money for the stadium? And I think with those unknowns, it's hard to say that she would have support right now.
One thing I'm curious.
These
things
get worked out.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I don't want the headline from you sports guys that, oh my God, the council's about to stop to kibosh the stadium, because I think that's premature.
Sure. It sounds like you're willing to negotiate this deal as it's constructed. You don't think works, but you're willing to talk about it. Help me with an area where I'm a little ignorant of the research you guys have done. So I remember reading somewhere that 71% of D.C. residents in a poll wanted the stadium back in D.C. How much work have you done to find out what that number is? How many polls have been done? And if it's a vast majority like that, is it as simple as saying, well, that's what the constituents want? And how do you make the decision just as a lawmaker in terms of going with or against your constituents?
I certainly think that as an elected body, that the council has to be mindful of where residents are. And I don't question what you said, 70% of residents would like to see a stadium, would like to see the Commanders back in D.C. I would too. I think if the question was different, do you support public financing? It might even be a majority that would say no. I know there's initiative underway, but I think what's most important for the council is to look at the return on investment. If we put in $1 billion, what do we get back? If we get back $1 billion over 30 years, that's over 30 years. That's not a positive return on investment. You know, the National Stadium, which we paid for and we own entirely, cost $700 million 20 years ago. So now in today's dollars, over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
And it's 20 years old, And they are already looking at a need for another roughly $600 million to be put into the stadium to keep it fresh, new, state-of-the-art, competitive. So these stadiums do not have a 30-year lifetime in the sense that there needs to be significant investment probably after 15 years. So what's the rate of return over 15 years? And if the tax revenue that's coming in is instead going to get redirected to just pay the interest cost and buy the some of the garages, basically finance to refinance the Commander's investment, suddenly the rate of return on investment is much lower. You know, the research generally says that sports stadiums do not have a positive return on investment. I think that a baseball stadium with 80 games probably has a more positive return than a football stadium with 10 games. I think there's much more involved with the stadium, as in the excitement of having your home team. But I think it's important that we look at the return on investment or ROI and look at it with a critical eye, not a glossful eye. And that's one of the things the council is going to have to do.
That's a great point. And you're right about that research. But I wonder how much it's shifting now with roofs, right? I mean, the Cowboys, you had me cracking up when you talked about bar mitzvahs. That was a good line. But I believe Jerry's World has had 250 events in a year. So if you were to, I don't know how they would do it, but if they laid out the schedule for you and you saw that they actually could have, you know, 200 plus events in that stadium, I would think that would make you feel a lot better then, because you've come back to the number of games and the number of events a lot. It's something that comes up on the show a bunch, but it is not now there's a roof on this thing. It's not as big as 90,000 plus, right? You can have concerts, you can have soccer games. And then the major events I go back to, right? The Super Bowl, you mentioned you might only get one. Well, one of those and one of a draft, the billion's still a billion. I don't know. I'd love to go see a WrestleMania or a World Cup game, which we got left out of because we don't have a place to hold it. Those things, you only need to have one or two of those and years and years worth of revenues generated, no?
Well, I think you have to have a little more than one or two years, but I don't know if you're Grant or Danny, but I want to go to your bar mitzvah with 66,000 guests.
I'm not that popular, sir.
I'm Grant. At my wedding, I think we had 175. It wouldn't have filled the joint.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 175,000. Oh,
no,
okay.
That would be nice.
Yeah, well, no, we have to look at the numbers.
Yeah.
My last question for you is what does the mayor need to do for you kind of going forward to help kind of shed some light on her plans? And like it sounds, I don't want to put words in your mouth, as you haven't been thrilled to this point about maybe being kind of left out of the process. What does she need to do in your eyes?
She needs to be more collaborative, and she needs to avoid what we saw happen in Virginia. I mean, I'm happy that the Capitals decided to stay in D.C., but not to dwell on this. The governor didn't work well with the legislature, and the mayor would do well to work with the council, which she has not done.
It's awesome that you gave us so much time, and it's helpful, you know, because we talk about this all day long. And to get someone on who's in the know to answer some of the questions that we have, I wasn't trying to be combative. And even when I say now, I just don't see what you guys could build there on that site that would bring back a projected $4 billion in tax revenue over 30 years. So if that number's not inflated to you, I don't really see another way forward. That would be better for the city. But it's nice to be able to say that to you and to hear what you thought. So thank you.
Yeah, well, in my view, we're not at, we have to take this deal or there's no deal. That is, we have to take this deal or there's no stadium. There are alternatives. I mean, we've seen huge development, redevelopment in the Noma area of city with no stadium. We've seen huge redevelopment with the Wharf. I was there last night. Hugely popular, very, very profitable to the city in terms of tax revenues. No stadium there. I'm not making the argument that that's what we want to see at the RFK site. I think that getting the Commanders there would be great. Let's just look at these numbers more carefully. And I think the city expense can be much, much, much less.
Mr. Chairman, very gracious with your time, sir. Really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Do you guys only talk football? Because, you know, the Nats did really well yesterday. I was at the game. It was like one of the best games I have ever been to.
Today's a pretty big day for the football team.
Yeah, you got a baseball show here, sir. Yeah, we do Caps and everything else. Yeah.
Right now, they're third. I mean, we love baseball. We're big James Wood guys. But right now, the pecking order today, stadium at the RFK site, which hopefully you're going to help us with as soon as you get off the phone here. Then we're going to have the Caps in game five, Wednesday night, Cap One Arena. I'll be there. You want to hang out, let me know.
And then we got the first period instead of making us all have heart attacks until the third period.
They don't do that, sir. That's not their forte.
This is not what they made. They like to finish the game after you've already keeled over with a win. That's kind of what they want to do.
Okay.
Thank you for the time, and hopefully we'll see you out at Capital One Arena or maybe even RFK 2.0 in the future.
Okay.
See you.
Thank you, sir.
There is the chairman of the DC City Council. So I think a couple of things are important, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
He made it very clear several times over, while this is not a deal he plans on going for, he's ready to negotiate, it sounds like. That's number one. Number two, he doesn't want it to be combative. He even joked about the headline saying he's not shutting this down. But it does not sound like this deal works for him. And he did say, again, not in a way where he was going Dan Snyder all cap style, there's not enough votes right now. That's telling.
Yeah, he referenced several times the process here didn't include the council. The mayor is the representative of the city talking to the team, et cetera. Only, as he claimed, only one conversation between him and the team to this point. It was introductory, not to the nitty gritty.
If you guys want to react to that, you can do so next on Grant and Danny. Huge third period. They were down 2-1 going into the third. Brandon Duhaime tied the game. Andrew Mangiapane gave him a 3-2 lead. Couple of unlikely heroes.
Yeah.
Bottom six players, not necessarily big-time goal scorers this year. And then empty net goals from Duhaime again and Tom Wilson, who was menace to society number one in Montreal.
Yeah, he's not popular.
His hit last night completely changed the complexion of that game. Just a destroying, bone-rattling, legal hit in the neutral zone. And they scored to tie the game about 15 seconds after.
They needed it. I mean, that early part of the third period, right? After Montreal took that 2-1 lead, you started to feel, I've seen this before. I've seen this series before where the Caps have more shots, more possession, more hits, more, and yet it's tied and it feels like it's slipping away. Montreal capitalizing on a couple opportunities. Then that goal from Duhaime, then the hit from Wilson, and it really changed everything. Now you come home with a commanding 3-1 lead.
All of our Caps playoff coverage on Grant and Danny is brought to you by Ace Trim Carpentry. For over 25 years, Ace Trim's been a trusted trade partner for new home builders in the DMV. They specialize in full-service interior trim carpentry. We handle everything from supply to installation, turnkey and hassle-free. Contact acetrim.com today. That's Ace Trim, the home builder's trade partner. We just had Phil Mendelson on the show. If you missed any part of that conversation, you'll want to podcast it at thefandc.com when we are done. Cliff Notes, I'd say he's most upset with Mayor Bowser because it sounds like she didn't include him in whatever planning was going on. And number two, he's not anti-stadium. He's anti-paying $1 billion for the stadium and wants to negotiate that number. My rebuttal to him and just now to you is, sorry, dude. I mean, they're paying a lot of money, this ownership group, compared to what the NFL is saying. We'll see if he gets his way. He obviously has the hammer to drop when he wants to, which is there's not enough votes right now.
Yeah, right now he doesn't think there's enough votes, and it actually might stand to reason. So there may be some tweaks, some things that have to change, just a rearranging of some of the columns and the way things are paid for. But I'm still more confident than I was a couple of weeks ago.
Nats with a chance to win 3 out of 4 against the Mets. That would be awesome. Mets came in the best team in the NL. Let's get you the leadoff brought to you by the Window Man. Since 1989, the Window Man's been the educational window company. Get your free in-home estimate. Go to thewindowman.com or their all-new Fairfax showroom.
Leading off, Flip Shortstop, Abrams batting second. Your DH today, James Wood, batting third. Second baseman, Luis Garcia, batting fourth. Playing first, Nathaniel Low. Batting fifth, doing the catching, K-Bear Ruiz, batting sixth in right field. Dylan Cruz, batting seventh at third base. Jose Tena, batting eighth in left field. Alex Call, batting ninth in center field. Jacob Young, all behind Trevor Williams.
Tomorrow on the show, we will have the brand new starting right tackle for your Commanders, drafted in the first round, Josh Connerly. Also, more reaction to the huge news over at the RFK site. It's an early show, though.
Yeah, I'm exhausted.
2 o'clock tomorrow, full strength, but 95 minutes is all you get today. We should tell you that somebody right now, caller 10, is going to win a four-pack of tickets to Old Glory Rugby Saturday, May 4th against Utah. Tickets are on sale now. For tickets and more event information, go to thefandc.com. Thanks much for listening. For Darius and Toby behind the scenes, Grant and Danny, saying so long. Much appreciate all of you hanging out. We're back at it tomorrow at 2 for a full G&D.
Thank you for coming.